Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 22nd day of February, Anno Domini 2025, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we are going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Here comes the news. With the 2024 version of Windows 11, Microsoft seems to keep building brick walls and then slamming headfirst into them. Each new update designed to fix the outstanding bugs ends up introducing other problems. Each new update designed to fix... I just printed that twice.
Which leads it's so important that you had to read it twice.
Which leads us to the February patch Tuesday update. This month's patches adds a few useful features, resolves a whole list of bugs, both old and new. Among the glitches resolved were ones that affected digital audio converters, USB audio drivers, USB cameras, and passkeys. The update also patched several security vulnerabilities, including some that were deemed critical, so don't skip it. Or maybe you should. After applying the update, many Windows users have been hit by troubles with File Explorer. And so that's the thing that when you open up a window, you see all your folders. When you open up a folder, you see your files. That's File Explorer. In some cases, File Explorer fails to respond when you try to open folders such as desktop, documents, and pictures. In other cases, File Explorer refuses to open if you try to access it through the desktop shortcut or Windows search. In still other cases, clicking on a folder's arrow in the left sidebar to view its subfolders produces no response. The Explorer.exe program still appears in Task Manager, indicating that File Explorer is running and hasn't frozen or crashed. One thought was that File Explorer conflicts with third-party tools. However, according to Windows Latest, the problem pops up even on plain vanilla systems with no third-party customizations. Beyond the glitches with File Explorer, some people have reported issues simply trying to install the update. Sometimes the update stops at 96%, kicking off an error that something didn't go as planned. Well, right, you installed Windows. Other times you're told that KB5051987 can't be installed because some update files are missing or have problems. Some users with MSI-based systems say that the update gets stuck at 0% for several hours. To try to resolve installation issues, try clearing the C Windows Software Distribution folder, which is where Windows stores its update files. Otherwise, you can just wait several hours or overnight to see if the installation finishes on its own. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Patch Tuesday causes new problems. And your choices are, I'm shocked. Shocked! Well, it's a very complex system. That's odd, isn't it? Where can I download Linux? And win what now? So far, we've got 22 votes, and I'm shocked. Shocked! Is just ahead of win what now? And of course, if you have a question or a comment or a suggestion or additions or deletions to the minutes about this or anything else, give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415. It's like they're not even trying anymore. I mean, I get it that every system is unique. There's 100 billion systems out there, yada, 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 yada. This is File Explorer. This is one of the most... core things they have, and they never tested it? Come on now.
No, they are testing it.
No.
On everybody that's out there.
We're testing
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, they're doing it.
It's just ridiculous. Look, Microsoft, get your act together. I get it. You've got an incredibly large number of installations. I mean, it's just, I get it.
They've gotten too complacent.
But, and you've got shareholders who are demanding that they make money every quarter. And I get that. But killing your QA department or giving it over to AI or whatever the heck it is you're doing, stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder people aren't installing updates because of so many problems.
Right.
But then when the critical, you know, security flaw gets fixed, they don't install that either.
Right. I got to be honest. I'm absolutely tired of the Saturday after Patch Tuesday we report on problems every stinking month.
Patch Tuesday is followed quickly by Exploit Thursday.
Exactly right. Exactly right. If you don't install the updates, like I said, there were several critical programs in this update that are designed to make your system more secure. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I get all that, and it makes sense. But the reality is we can't keep doing this. We can't keep, and I, you know, objectively, I don't care. I run Linux. Linux updates every day. One or two small programs update every day. Mm-hmm. Everything is always up to date, and everything always works.
And they do it in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it in the background. And I don't understand why Windows can't do that. It's not magic.
It's the registry.
Mm-hmm. It's the registry.
Everything affects the registry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. In Linux, they've been doing this for 30, 40 years.
And having a failure after an update is exceedingly rare.
Oh, yeah.
On Linux, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it used to be a little more common when you had to recompile your own kernel.
Mm-hmm.
That was user error. Now it's just click the button like everybody else.
And automatically it happens.
Boom, done. In the back, like you said, in the background. Rarely, very rarely you have to reboot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's rare. And in, you know, the last 20 years, it hasn't caused a single problem anywhere. All right. I think I've made you dissatisfied enough with your computer choice. Let's move on to the phones. Our first caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. Hiya, Dave. What's up?
Nothing good. I do have I have a suggestion. I ran across an app for Android called GlassWire.
Yep.
And what it does is it keeps track of the amount of data that you're using over the cellular network. So if you're on a plan where you got to be careful about that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't quite figured out if it's doing what I think it's doing, but you can even set which day of the month it begins counting so it coincides with the way the cellular company begins counting.
Right. Nice.
So, yeah. Okay. So now... Because I'm old and my brain is rotting, I'm using Thunderbird, and I have several email accounts.
Okay.
Now, say I'm in Yahoo, which is one of my garbage mail accounts. Okay, I'm doing something in there, and I'm going to start a new email to send to somebody or whatever. So I hit whichever button it is here. Let's see.
The new message.
Right. I'm going to write a new message. Okay. Well, what happens, and you don't really notice it, is that there's a from at the very top.
Yep.
And there's actually a drop-down menu.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the trick is that it defaults to wherever I was when I hit okay. And if you miss that, then the message goes out from the wrong account.
Yep.
And I can't find any way around that. I've looked and looked and looked. There was one thing that said there was a button use default or something like that. And I remember seeing that, but that was like a long time ago. You know, I'm up to date on Thunderbird, and I haven't been able to find that. I've been looking and looking and looking.
I would expect there to be a default account setting.
There is one, but you can't turn it off because one of the Google things I found was to uncheck that.
Well, you have to pick a default account. So you pick the one that you use the most.
Yeah, well...
See, right, but it doesn't do what he wants, which is always default to that as the from.
not have to constantly change it.
It's like I say, wherever you are, whichever account you're in, when you say create a new email, it uses the account that you're currently in. If you just got my Yahoo Mail, whatever. And the other thing that would work would be if they just forced that from to drop down every time I create a mail, but I haven't been able to find anything like that either.
The 99% of the time you want to use the account you're in, you'd get so annoyed at that menu dropping down, you'd want to know how to stop it.
You're right. Yeah, they pick the behavior, and it isn't one you like, and I get that.
Yeah.
But that is the behavior they picked.
Yeah. Oh, well. So I'll just have to continue rotting away, but I can live with that.
You go into settings, pick the account you want, and choose set as default. And then when you make a new message, it will use that default from address.
No, it doesn't, though.
Try changing the default to something else and then change it back to the one you want.
Oh, I've changed so many things. It's still, whatever account you happen to be in when you create a new message, that's where it shows up in the from. So you can just go up there and drop down the menu and pick the one you want as long as you remember.
Right. Yeah, and I'm seeing that you change your default account in settings and it uses that one unless you tell it otherwise.
Okay, according to Mozilla support, you can, in fact, configure the default sending address, which is what you want.
Well, not necessarily.
That's the from. The sending address is the from.
Yeah, well, the trick is I have other accounts that are not garbage accounts.
You have to pick one as your default sending account.
Yeah, then so you use the one to pick the right one. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which account I'm using?
Set the one you use the most as the default account.
Yeah, that's already set to that, but I still have this problem.
Yeah, there's no real fix for that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are a couple of add-ons. One is called Identity Chooser.
Ooh.
I haven't played much with that, but that may help. I don't know that it sets a default. But it does help you, find that the correct identity.
Yeah, yeah. If it was just something that popped up every time I created a new mail, whatever it is, it would remind me to do the right thing instead of forgetting about it. Anyway, so one other question. I have to create some training videos, and it's basically, I'm not a movie star. You don't want to look at my face anyway. It's all about what's on my desktop.
Right.
And I was just looking for suggestions that are easy to use so it would capture whatever's happening on my screen and capture my microphone.
Do you have Windows 10 or 11?
10.
Okay. There is a program called ScreenRec, REC, which is at ScreenRec.com. They have a screen recorder. It's free. There's no time limit. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how clean it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know it's there. And then if you search for desktop recorder Windows 10, you'll find things like the 8 best screen recorders for Windows PC, et cetera, et cetera. So Bandicam is another one. But there are any number of screen recorders or desktop recorders, whatever you call them, that are available to do that. And a number of them are free. Some of them have time limits. Some of them are paid. But there are a couple that are free and no time limits and don't have a watermark. That's another thing to look at. So,
Yeah. I can live with a watermark. This is for an internal thing for the mess, the other mess I'm in. I could use up the whole show with you guys, but this is enough for me for today.
And I think there used to be a built-in recorder on Windows 10?
On the Mac there is. The QuickTime Player also has a built-in screen recorder.
Right. But I thought there was a control...
There's a print screen, but I don't know
Windows
if there's a
key. Windows Alt R. Windows Alt R, I think. I think used to do that. I don't know if it does it anymore, but it used to.
I think it was in Windows 7 or maybe XP.
It can't hurt to give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
I found an article from 2023 that the Windows 10 screen recording tool is accessed through the Xbox Game Bar. Windows G will bring up the Xbox Game Bar, and then you can hit Capture.
There you go.
Assuming you're going to capture a screen recording of your game, but it records anything on the screen.
Right.
So I will post that link, too. So that was quite the revelation when people started realizing they can record someone else playing a game and comment on the playing and earn money on YouTube.
Earn money on YouTube.
You don't actually play the game yourself. You just comment on playing the game.
Right. Well, you have to do it at least in a way that's amusing or something.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Wayne from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. Just want to follow up on a conversation you had 2 weeks ago about Windows 10 end of support.
Yeah.
I took another approach, and Nick, you've spoken about buying refurbished on Woot.
Yep.
I gave it a try, and I think you're right. This could become addictive.
I'm so sorry to have been your the free taste.
Yeah, my wife thanks you, by the way. She knows you well, if you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, so I bought a Lenovo P330 ThinkStation. I'm happy as a clam. It's about, it's 2019 vintage for about $400. It arrived in great condition, has an i7 processor, 32 gigs of RAM.
Nice.
I bought it for personal use. It also can act as a backup for my trusty mobile workstation, and thinking about beating the tariffs as well, because I need to have a backup plan.
Yep.
And I can also use it for testing applications. I moved over my NVIDIA GPU from my GPU from my old machine and put in a new 2 terabyte SanDisk drive, and had a old DVD burner lying around. I threw in there.
Nice.
And so I'm replacing a it's replacing an 11-year-old machine from MicroWorks, which has been an old standby, and that machine will be upgraded to Linux. But I would fully go to Linux if I didn't have a couple business applications I had to run. But
And that's what we always say.
Yeah, so I've instead of replacing a machine, I guess I've gained a machine. So, but it's running great.
Good.
There are two things I didn't like about it. The first thing is when I opened it up and started running, it smelled like Febreze or some other chemical cleaning. And I took out one of the fans that I noticed had a bunch of white residue and dust on the blades. Everything else was really clean. I took the fan out, cleaned the blades off, and then I carefully wiped down some flat surfaces of rubbing alcohol. It smells fine now.
Nice.
And the other thing is they sent a cheap KingFast 2.5-inch SSD drive instead of the advertised M.2 drive.
Yeah.
And so, I sent in a small email complaint, and they, of course, offered for me to return the machine, but I've already bonded with the machine, so I decided to hang on to that.
Yep.
And plus, I got a 400-watt power supply when they advertised 250, so I guess I couldn't complain too much.
Right.
One end versus the other, yeah.
I will say this about Woot. They are very good about returns. If you complain to them, they just, within the time period, they just take it right back. They're very good about it.
Yeah, and so I just wanted to, this is another option for, Windows 10 going out, and for about the price of 3 years of extended support, I have another option that's a lot more powerful and newer than I had. And I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but I like to tinker. I used to build my own machines anyway, so I'm having fun with it, actually.
Good for you. That's the way to take care of it. Just have fun.
So thank you. I wanted to mention one other thing. Your news item of Windows updates. I had an audio driver that keeps. I roll back the driver. Audio works good, and like 2 days later, the audio driver gets reapplied. I've been trying to find a way to stop it from doing that, but I haven't found a way. If you have any suggestions, that wasn't the primary reason I called, but if you have any suggestions, I'd be open to it.
I don't have an easy one. The theory is there is a registry entry you can change to not load the audio driver, but I don't know it off the top of my head, and as you know, we don't encourage people to play about in the registry.
Have never, nor will we ever,
right?
Tell folks how to play. Well, it's such a dangerous place to go, yeah, because all it takes is one slip up and you exit out. You could toast your machine as far as doing anything. Brick it.
I had a registry all the time, but it's not for everybody, for sure.
No.
I think I've been lucky, though. But I back up everything before I mess around with it.
Well, that helps, but you run into the problem. If you can't boot Windows, then you have a whole rigmarole process to go through to put the new the old registry back
in. Yeah, it's not just simply turn it off, turn it back on, and away you go.
Right.
It's a lot.
As always, anyway, I suggest that people have a site book handy where they put everything they've changed, everything they've done, and whatever the long and involved procedure is for replacing the registry, so that when it happens and you panic, you just go to the document and follow step A, step B, step C, which goes a long way toward calming you down.
Bottom line, my advice would always be never, never, ever play around in the registry. You can go ahead and play around with other programs and the configuration of those and that and mess up one program. You mess up the registry, you messed up Windows. That's the bottom line.
I had messed up the registry before by using a so-called registry cleaning. It cleaned it really well. It was gone.
Well, yeah, the registry, well, it was gone. Well, that's, we've talked about registry cleaners in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago, but
and there have been a lot of
the old reg cleaner
janky products out there. All right, thanks, Wayne.
Yeah, man, have a great day.
You too. Nice. Say hi for me, by the way.
I will.
Okay, thanks. Bye bye. Yeah. I've talked about Woot in the past. Woot.com. And WOT. And it used to be, they're owned by Amazon now, so it's a very different site. Still good, but very different. It used to be one day, one deal.
Mm-hmm.
And they highlighted one product on their site, and you buy that product or you don't, and when it's sold out, it's sold out.
That's it.
And
you're done. That was it, yeah.
Then it was, they had multiple categories, and then Amazon bought them. So a lot of the stuff now is basically warehouse leftovers, which are not necessarily bad. I'm not saying that's bad, but it's you get what you pay for. You pay for what you get. Although I've bought way too many laptops from Moot, and every one of them was a gem, except for one, which I couldn't get into because they had a BIOS password. I emailed Woot. They said, here, we'll send you a return. We'll pay the return. Give you your money back. Done. No questions.
Mm-hmm.
No problems. Done. What I really wanted was that laptop without the BIOS password.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that, but that's okay. At least that wasn't out of pocket any money. So that was really very
you hadn't bonded with it yet, like the last caller.
That's the truth. That is so true. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You can bond with us by giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, I should talk about a thing that might indeed be going on at some point. It looks like Mastermind Lounge is going to be sold. If that is the case, then I no longer have a free account there, and we won't be able to use it for our Sunday night Soundbites get-togethers or our Wednesday night Ask Nick get-togethers. However, so I went looking for stuff, and my criteria were free because I'm cheap.
No, it gets expensive.
It does get expensive.
Hello? You're tired.
So Google Meet limits us to exactly an hour, which we often run over, or you pay. Zoom is 40 minutes, which is ludicrous, or you pay. But I found a thing called matrix.org, and there are a few things in its favor. It's open source. It's free. It has no time limits. What I didn't like about it originally was it requires a client. Now, there are clients for Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, and iOS so far. So that's not really a restriction. And as it turns out, they now have a web client as well. So even that's gone. So you can get to it on the web. You do have to sign up. But once you sign up, you can join anytime. It does audio and video. It does chats. It does all the stuff that we are used to now. It doesn't do a lot of the background stuff. So there's a lot of statistical things that we could get with Mastermind Lounge that, frankly, we never cared about for what we were doing anyway. So it doesn't for us, it doesn't matter at all. But for the general things that we did, or do now, it exists. So we'll talk about that more on Sunday and even more on Wednesday. But if you want to take a look at the stuff, I've got a preliminary page set up. Normally, if you wanted to go to see what we're to join into the lounge, which will be tomorrow night at 9 p.m., since there's no superb owl tomorrow night, we will have the lounge. Normally, you'd go to soundbites.org/lounge. Well, to take a look at the page I've created for Matrix and Element, which is the client we're recommending, you can go to soundbites.org/lounge/matrix.php. And Steve's going to put up a link so you can take a look at it. We're not going to use it to start with tomorrow night or Wednesday night, but we'll be talking about it and what it does and how we're moving to it and what you have to do to sign up. It's really quite simple, quite easy. There's the setup system, the stuff you have to do only once, and then every week you just run the program, click join, and you're in. Now, just a reminder that you will be prompted by your operating system. Do you want to allow the audio and video? That's often a tiny little window somewhere in the corner, and a lot of people miss it, and then they wonder why they can't join in to the chat. But you don't have to turn on your camera or your microphone ever. We certainly don't require that ever. But if you want to, you have to, for any modern operating system, tell it you want to allow that to happen. All right, that's enough about Matrix for now. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Fred. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to add on to that conversation about Woot.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you need to start another group, like a Wootaholics.
Yeah, yes.
Not to make fun of those who have trouble, but, you know, Gambling Anonymous, and I've bought way more stuff than just computers on Woot.
Yep.
Once you got me started...
It's my fault. I'm taking full responsibility.
Oh, your fault. One of the things that I found with Woot, at least in buying a couple laptops, I bought one for myself and one for my daughter, Dell laptops, it still had the sticker, the original sticker on the case that said i5.
Yeah.
But when they refurbished it, they must have replaced much more than I would expect that they would replace. Because it's an i7.
Nice.
Which, you know, when I bought it, I thought, well, i5, I'd rather get the i7. I don't need the i7, but okay, you know.
Right.
What would the i5 for the price? And a couple conversations we've had about checking the system, everything points that it's an i7.
Nice.
So that's an extra bonus.
Yeah.
You know, that... Anybody's listening and wants to find something. The only thing about the Woot website that is maybe just part of their design is you can't search for anything in particular.
Right.
You can go by categories, but you know, if there's something, hey, I want to get a, I wonder if they got any blah blah blah. You can't search that narrow. You got to go through pages and pages of stuff, but. It also encourages you to buy more stuff.
And that's why they do it. Exactly.
I didn't really want one of those, but hey, look at it. It's on sale.
Yep.
So yeah, that's, I just wanted to add that on. Thanks for everything that you guys do. And, you know, thanks for the extra tips that we get from listening.
Well, thank you, Fred. We appreciate everything you do, too. Thank you.
All right. Take care now.
Bye-bye. Yeah,
Ooh, a wiring and snap ring set for $3.99.
Well, yeah, you find that's the thing. You go through the thing and you find stuff. They send out an email. You can sign up for the email every day, and I get the email and I always look. And every day it seems they've targeted me with more laptops.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying a laptop right now. I am not. We just
bought
a new car.
You've bought a lot in the past.
I bought a lot in the past, I've got this one. Was a Woot, and it's what, 7 years old now, and it runs just like the day I bought it. It's great. Well, no, it doesn't, because I took Windows off and put Linux on. But it runs like the second day I bought it. So yeah, it's great.
It's a more efficient.
It's a more efficient machine.
Right.
Before we go to the next caller, backing up half a stack to the caller that was having problems with Thunderbird.
Yeah.
I heard about a new email client on GRC, and Steve Gibson, who's very, very particular about how he likes his software to work, he found this program called EM Client that he loves. It lets him sort and separate all his email. It's got scripting. It's got all sorts of neat stuff. It's free for a single user account, so one email address. And he said the only thing he didn't like is that he has a bunch of accounts. I had to subscribe for monthly payments for multiple subscriptions. And the next week on the show, somebody said, well, if you just slide that little slider at the top to the one-time payment option, you can buy it outright and not have to pay a subscription. So you can download it for free, try it with your main email address if you like it, and then decide if you want to go for more email addresses.
What operating systems?
All of them.
Oh, nice.
Well, let me back up half a stack. Not, where is it?
Support. Probably not Linux.
Yes.
download. Yes, it does, or yes, it doesn't?
Windows, Mac, iOS, Android.
Yeah.
So you can do the Android version on Linux.
True. All right, very nice.
So what would that be, ARM?
Yeah, do we have somebody waiting?
No.
No.
Kept asking, hello, 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 and, you know, when you folks call, you got to actually speak when I ask.
Right. Right. So I'll talk a little bit more about Matrix while we're waiting. The folks at Mastermind Lounge have been very kind to us, and we appreciate all of that. But it looks like we're moving on. So Element has kind of some of the elements of
yourself.
What's the name of it? Discord. And some other things. Plus it does the video stuff. So I think it'll be something we look at, whether it's the thing we use permanently or just the thing we look at for a while.
Just write your own.
I could write my own.
WebRTC?
I have done WebRTC. I've done chat things, but I'm not looking to do that
in your spare time.
Exactly.
Now that you're retired.
Exactly. I had more free time when I was working than I do now that I'm retired. Anyway, take a look at if anybody has any experience with Matrix and Element, please give us a call. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Larry from Rochester, New York. What's up, Larry?
Good afternoon, guys. This one is for Dave. I'm coming in. I called a week or two ago about Sophos, and I still cannot install it. I have used their troubleshooting and done everything that I know how to do, so I just filled out a ticket. But what I really wanted to know is, besides Sophos' password and my machine's password, is there anything else I need to hand in so that you could hopefully install this and tell me what I'm not doing?
Well, I think you got us confused, though.
Yeah. I get called Dave a lot because it's a one-syllable name, and the second half of the syllable's the same.
Yeah,
you said Dave.
That's
Steve.
Down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that should be all we need.
I do mean Steve. I'm so sorry. I'm just frustrated.
Just don't call us late for dinner.
I thought you were getting into the Raspberry Pis and wanted to talk to Dave.
Well, hey, you never
don't worry. Steve will answer to any loud noise. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Okay. I would shoot this thing if I didn't kind of need it. I cannot get it on. And it seems that since Sequoia, Sophos doesn't install as easily as it used to. Now, I don't know if it's extra things that Apple is doing or something that Sophos is doing or not doing, but everything that they have asked me to do and in their troubleshooting, I have done, and I still cannot install this.
It's a combination of Apple adding more secure layers and Sophos needing to dig into the deep core of the OS, to be able to monitor for software, that there's so many more permission errors that you have to give permission to programs to get that deep down. But yeah, generally speaking, when you bring a computer in for service, that they generally would need the password, the administrator password on that computer,
right?
And then whatever password for if you're having software issues. So if you're having an email problem, give them your email password. And you know, Sophos problem, give them your.
Right.
So many times people come in and don't have any passwords with them, and then it delays your repair because then we got to call you, leave a message, and need your password, and then someone will call back after hours and. We're not there to give them the password. Yeah.
And you notice what Steve asked for was the admin password.
Yeah.
Not the it's good to give them the user name, you know, your user password as well. But what he really needs is the admin password because that's the person who can install software.
Right. And most of the time on both Windows and Mac, it's the same password, but it doesn't have to be.
Right.
I think it's the same password. I don't know if I'm supposed to change that up, but I think right now it's the same password.
Yeah. There are advantages, especially on Windows, but also on Mac, of running your day-to-day use as a standard user. That way, drive-by downloads of malicious software can't install because you're not running as an administrator. And keep that administrator account just for administrative purposes, like installing software.
I haven't done that.
Yeah,
I know
most people don't. It's whose blog? I was reading somebody's blog and said Windows, you could stop 85% to 90% of all malware by not running as an admin all the time.
Yep, exactly right.
But there's so many escalation of privilege attacks on Windows that even when you're not an admin, the bad software gets in and escalates to an admin and runs anyway.
Okay, well, that's something I'm going to have to look into. But I know what you're saying now. I know I haven't done that. I just use the one password.
Yep.
I'm in. You know, my wife uses it. We're in, and we do our business, and we're out. Okay, well, that's something to look in further. I'll finish then the sheet on your site and bring it in sometime tomorrow. But I am just so frustrated now, and what I'm doubly afraid of is I could be getting attacks, and I have no way to stop it. Mm-hmm. Malwarebytes is working fine, but I have Malwarebytes and Sophos as my main protection.
Good. Don't bring it tomorrow because we're closed. But
okay.
Monday we'll be open.
Well, what is tomorrow? Monday?
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
If you can get down there in the next 9 minutes, Tyler should be there till 1 today.
I'm not.
Larry, it's nap time, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Thanks. This didn't go well.
Bring it to Dave tomorrow. You'll be all set.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, you can come over. I won't. I'll be at work tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, thanks, Larry.
But you can come over to the shop and visit if you want. You know, the back parking lot and park
just
there.
Hang out there by yourself for a while.
Yeah, say hello to my neighbors and that. You know.
Yep.
Like I said, this didn't go well today.
Yeah.
So. You have a good one, though.
All right, Larry, have fun. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
We have people that will say that frequently, that I hate to see you because it always means there's the problem.
Right, exactly.
We're like the doctor. You hate going to the doctor because it means there's a problem. Feel free to stop by and just say hi now and then.
Right, exactly.
don't only have to come when there's a problem.
Well, at your store, you sell other things, peripherals and stuff like that.
Say your name again.
Sometimes somebody's got to come in who isn't angry.
Jim?
Yeah. Doesn't seem very often, though.
I used to tell the kids who worked for me, my minions, I used to tell them, people are not actually angry at you. You cannot take it personally.
Yeah.
They're frustrated. They're upset. They're angry at the computer. They're angry at Bill Gates. They're angry at whoever, but they're not really angry at you.
See, I wish we hadn't called them personal computers.
Right.
Because that makes it personal. You don't get mad at the hammer when you hit your thumb. You get mad at yourself.
Right. You get mad at the stupid nail.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. What's up, Jim?
Hi, I found that in Windows 11, the Find and Replace application has disappeared. And I'm wondering if our Steve Ray can put together a procedure to follow where we can recover this and get it back on our Windows 11 machine.
That's usually a function of the program you're in. Usually not the operating system.
What Find Replace?
The operating system is Windows 11.
Right. What program are you trying to use to find? Are you finding and replacing text?
Find and replace.
Find what and replace it with what?
Well, you would put in a word that you want to find, and if you wanted to change that word to something else, you'd put that in the replace box.
Right, and you do that in a program of some sort.
Your computer.
Like Word or Notepad or WordPad.
It's in the find box.
Right.
And if you hit the button for replace, it would replace whatever that was with whatever you put into the...
Right. The operating system never did that. That was always in the program you were in.
What Word program document? Are you in?
I know I used to get it on Windows 11. I used to get it on Windows 10.
I'm sorry. What program are you in?
It's just gone. And it disappeared.
Sir, you're not listening.
Last month.
Okay.
So it's probably something that Windows killed in one of their updates.
Sir, you're not listening to us. It is not part of Windows 10. It is not part of Windows 11. That is part of a specific program, as in Word or Excel. They have certain programs have the find and replace feature, not the operating system. So which program are you using? Hello? Thank you for calling.
All right. I don't understand any of that.
And the find and replace command is usually...
Control-H. Control-H
well, control
is
F to find?
Nope.
Control-H. Oh, find and... yes.
Dan? Find and replace.
Dan, where are you calling?
And usually that's also in the edit menu.
Pittsburgh?
Where you would find a file. So you can find text. Well, command F to find, Command G to find again. And then Command H will have the replace. And I'm posting a link in Microsoft Word on how to do that, because that's probably the program he was using.
Right. But it's not at the operating system level. It's in a program.
Now, there are file finders where you can find and rename files. So one of the things some people like to do is if you have a bunch of pictures, you rename them,
Yeah, but again, that's in like a file system. You're in the file manager.
That was never a part of Windows itself.
He is totally confused in what he's trying to do or explain that he's trying to do and wasn't paying attention, or trying to listen. I wasn't trying to be rude. I was just trying to, because he was kept saying that it's the operating system. It is not the operating system. It has, were saying, it's got to be a specific program.
And it looks like in Word they moved it out of the edit menu and moved it to the home pane.
Right, home, edit, replace.
All those, the window panes that they added to take away from menus.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
Hello, gents. I promise to be a good listener.
Thank you.
Not as hostile as your last caller. Anyway, my question is, I've got a couple. One regards sleep mode, that which is forced with the keyboard or key on your keyboard with a half moon versus what happens if you simply walk away from the computer for whatever time period it's set that it goes in and the screen goes dark. Are those two equal in terms of what they shut down within the PC?
No.
Or, okay, I'd like to know the difference.
I'm rushing you along because we only got a minute. So here's the thing. Sleep mode. Well, okay, let's start with the lock mode. When you walk away from your computer after X number of minutes, the screen locks. Everything is still running just the way you left it, except now in order to get back into the screen, you have to type in your password. But when you do, everything is right there ready to run. If you are in sleep mode, and it depends on whether you're sleeping or hibernating, but I'm not going to get into all that right now. Basically what happens is memory is saved to the hard drive, and everything goes into a low energy state when you close that laptop lid, for example. And the idea there is you could walk around for a while without using too much of your battery.
And many computers, especially laptops, the display will sleep first after, say, 10 minutes. And then the computer will sleep after 30 minutes so that you can get back into... back into it faster than turning it off and all the way back on again.
All right.
Okay, but hold on.
You got to stay on the line, Don. I'm sorry. We got to take the break. So please stay on the line, and we'll get to you when we come back. And we will come back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Don from Pittsford, and you. The first hour of this show is done. But there's a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Take a quick bio break. Grab yourself a beverage, adult or not, and maybe a snack or two. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And joining us in hurtling headlong on is Don from Pittsford, New York. You had a second question, Don.
Well, I'd like to get back to the first one because your reference to sleep mode seemed to pertain specifically to laptops. My concern or question regards a desktop, a PC Windows 10, running two internal hard drives. And I'm wondering whether what I'd like or what I hope happens when I go into either a forced manual sleep mode or when the computer chooses to shut down after a certain period of time, is the same thing, are we saving the same amount of wear on the computer, particularly does it turn off the hard drives?
Okay, so first, you shouldn't really, most desktop machines are not designed to sleep or hibernate. So you shouldn't do that anyway, unless your particular machine definitely says it can do that. The second thing is, do you have spinning hard drives or SSDs?
No, spinning.
Okay.
Sometimes the sleep hard drive is a separate setting.
Right. So you can, depending on your system, and every system is a little different, you can spin down the hard drives after X number of hours or minutes or whatever you want. But that doesn't, you don't need to sleep the whole system for that. You can just spin down the hard drives.
How do you spin down the hard drives only?
It's a setting in the energy saving settings, if the hard drives are capable.
And that is the secret right there. Not every hard drive will respond well to that. So if you look in the power settings and there's no option to spin down the hard drives, it means your hard drives don't react well to that.
It's in one of the advanced option settings. I'm putting a link on. But the problem is, and you mentioned the key, is wear. Spinning them down and spinning them back up again wears them out. So if you spin them up and down too much, they wear out faster. If you turn the computer on and off too much, it wears out faster.
Mm-hmm.
Too much is the magic word. Nobody knows what too much is. There's that story about there's a light bulb in San Francisco that's been burning for 130 years.
Because nobody's ever turned it off.
And it's only running at 5 watts, and no one ever turns it off. It's like, you know, light bulbs in your house, they don't blow most of the time while they're using them. They blow when you turn them on, and there's that surge of electricity and the surge of heat. The
thermal shock, they call it.
That sounds like it gets back to the question of, is it better to leave your computer on all the time or simply turn it on and off when you go to bed?
Honestly, I can't tell you the last time I turned off a computer.
Same here. I just turn off the monitor.
Reboot, yes. Turn off, no.
Really?
Many.
Even with spinning hard drives.
Yes.
Yep.
Because once they're up and running, they're going to spin at that rate until the oil seizes up.
The lubricating, the lubricating oil on the spindle.
And keeping it running, honestly, keeps that oil warm and
fluid.
Interesting. Well, my practice has been, and there is a half moon key on the keyboard, and when I shut that down, thinking, or when I push that key, thinking it's the sleep mode, the monitor goes dark immediately, and it seems like there is less, a little less sound on the in the computer, although that's questionable.
Yeah, well, that's likely the fans.
Well, so it could be putting it. So it's putting the computer to sleep. It's cutting the video signal, which then the monitor goes to sleep, but not off. So it's using less power, but not no power. It could spin down your hard drives. It could spin down your fans, as depending on how deep a sleep it gets. So that's often the third setting called hibernate, which is a deeper sleep where it actually turns more things off, but still uses a little bit of power. But not, but then turns on faster than if it was completely turned off.
So, if someone is going to be away from the computer for a few hours, that's when I put it in quote sleep mode.
The sleep, yeah.
Would it be better to find or put it in hibernate?
It usually does that automatically. The default settings are usually sleep after 20 minutes and hibernate after an hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if it is a laptop, there are separate settings for battery versus AC power.
Yeah.
Because when it's on battery, you usually want it to sleep faster to save your battery life.
Okay.
And that's in the customize a power plan settings in the Windows power options.
But I'm really only concerned about the desktop in this case.
It's the same settings on both.
Okay. All right. Second question is, in terms of driver updates, which is the best route and the safest way to go about updating drivers? AVG indicates that I have four that need updating, and they offer a way to click and go ahead and do that, but I'm concerned whether AVG, that route is better or safer or as safe as Windows.
It's easier. Safest is to go to the website of every driver company manually and look up the drivers yourself and get the latest drivers for your device. But that's a lot more tedious and time-consuming
sure
on your hand, yeah.
And theoretically, that's what AVG is doing anyway.
Well, isn't that a pay feature? Yeah, that's one of the pay features. So if you're paying for that feature, then it's probably okay. Although, I trust Windows before AVG. So a lot of these antivirus programs are branching out into other services, other software
to make more money
because everyone has an antivirus and there's enough free antivirus software out now that including AVG has a free version that they have to add features to get you to pay for it, which fine, we need to pay for software to keep getting software, but trying to do something that Windows has built in kind of feels off to me.
Well, can you simply update drivers by going to Windows and search for drivers that need updating?
Yes.
Yes.
That's part of Windows Update.
Well, it's part of Windows Update, but you can also go into the driver management and look at individual drivers and update them that way.
There's a setting in Windows Update to look for third-party drivers. So when the third-party company posts the new driver, Microsoft vets it and loads it into the Windows Update.
Okay, so what's the route that one would take then to find what drivers need updating and proceed to have that done?
Go into Windows Update.
Just type in Windows Update in the lower window.
Yeah, that should find whatever the name of the update program is. It might even be Windows Update. I don't remember offhand.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'll try it. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
All right, thank you. Yeah, you can do device driver management through the device manager. Is probably the easiest way to
do. And that's right. And that you do. Does that have a update all or check all, or is that one of the time?
You can do that a couple of different ways. One of the ways is you just go and look at each driver, and if it has the triangle, the yellow triangle, there's an update for it. Click on it.
Yep.
Get the update.
If you have a name brand computer, Dell, HP, Lenovo, they often have their own app that updates their own drivers because they know what drivers they put in your machine. If you custom build a machine...
Unless you've changed it.
Right. With a custom built machine, you generally have to find all the drivers yourself.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Sherman from Greece, New York. Hiya, Sherman. What's up?
Well, I've got a problem with a 10-year-old MacBook Pro. I tried to do my taxes, and TurboTax would not download because I have an OS that's out of sync, I guess. It's an 11-something. Question is, can I upload, or download, rather, the current operating system for Mac?
It depends on what model computer you have.
It's 10 years old.
Which model? 15. I need to know exactly what model it is.
There's 63 MacBook Pros.
Which model is it?
Oh, my God.
If you go to the Apple menu and choose About This Mac, it will tell you what model it is.
Okay. I'll have to do that later on. I can't take up your time.
Yeah, and if you go into system settings, there's a software update command that will look and find updates. And also upgrades for your computer. Current operating system is 15. So if you're running 11, you're 4 behind.
Yeah, okay. And it's telling me that it is up to date. I have 11.7 point something.
Well, that means 11 point... That means that operating system is up to date, right?
Yeah, but that would also show you upgrades as well.
Okay.
So it looks like the 2015 models could go to OS 12. In 2017, you can go to OS 13. Yeah, so after 10 years, you might be a little out of luck. Now, I have read about a third-party program that breaks Apple's minimum requirements, which lets you run newer OSs, but then they're often significantly slower than you would want the computer to be, which is one of the reasons Apple cuts off old OSs, is that the new OS would make your computer too slow.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is TurboTax does let you file online.
Yeah, you could use the web version and not need a desktop version.
Okay. I'll look into that as well. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We are members.
That's what I'd love to hear. Thank you, Sherman.
Okay.
Later. Bye-bye.
We often see that TurboTax and Quicken are two of the biggest programs that people need to replace when they get a new computer, because the old version doesn't work anymore. And sometimes they spawn a new computer because your old version is too old to work with the newer one. But with more and more things going to web-based apps, it's getting easier that way. Now you're going to start running into web issues. So Safari that you're running on a four-year-old OS is not the current version of the web browser. You can do Chrome or Firefox. I think Chrome is going to start needing a newer OS too as well.
Money Dance just did another update to support more of the stuff being done online, you know, for the taxes and everything else, the web-based stuff.
Right, and the other choice, it may be a little late in the season to do this right now, but it wouldn't hurt to take a look at something like Money Dance, which is an inexpensive alternative to TurboTax and
that's
the other one.
Quicken.
No, it's Quicken.
That's a checkbook program. TurboTax is a fill out your tax
forms. Oh, of course it is.
Yeah, but Money Dance can get all the information to feed TurboTax and the other programs out there to do your taxes. And like I said, they just went and did another update just this year alone. They've done two major updates to get, you know, the support, because it is an international system. Yep. I mean, they support currencies all over the world. This isn't just some mom-and-pop shop here in the United States. It's a big company, and it's a great product. I mean, they're not paying me to say anything, but I wanted to find an alternative to QuickBooks, because they're going to the web-based stuff in a monthly fee or yearly fee, and it's like, no, I'll pay the little bit that I had to for Money Dance, and now I'm getting all these free updates.
Yep.
So, you know, heck yeah.
Yep. No, Money Dance is an awfully good product, and you can try it for free.
Yep.
I think it does 500 transactions for free, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Something along that line. So you can try it for free, and then if you like it, it isn't expensive to
Plus, if buy. You have any of the current versions of Quicken, you can export it out and pull it into the latest Money Dance.
Right.
And, you know, it'll save all your categories, your, you know, memory reminders. I'm trying to think of it. Reminders and your whole checkbook. And it does a great job of it.
Yep. All right. For those of you who don't listen to the first hour of the show, for those of you who do, take a nap. For those of you who don't listen to the first hour of the show, it looks like Mastermind Lounge is being sold, in which case... I will no longer have a free account, so I'm looking for somewhere else to do our Sunday night lounge chats and our Wednesday night Ask Nick chats. So I've looked at a couple of things. My criteria are free. I want free. And I want to have no time limits, because God knows we're a windy bunch. Google Meet limits us to exactly 1 hour unless we pay. Zoom is 40 minutes unless we pay.
And the other thing Zoom did is when the 40 minutes ended, you could just start the same meeting again and get another 40 minutes. They stopped that. Now you got to wait 20 minutes between your 40 minutes.
Yep. so what I found was a product called Matrix.org. And their just slew of clients.
So now we can live in the matrix.
We can live in the matrix that are available for them. And it's all open source. It's all free. No time limits. The clients so far are for Windows, Mac, Linux, Android, iOS. And now there's even a web client. So you don't even have to download anything if you don't want to. I've set up a preliminary page to talk people through how to use it. I wrote it just before there was I saw the web client. Honestly, don't know how long the web client's been there. It wasn't there the first time I looked, but when I took the screenshot, it said web client. So I assume there's a web client. Yeah, there is. I tried it, just for a moment. Normally if you were to want to use the lounge, you would go to soundbites.org/lounge. And to be clear, that's what we'll do tomorrow night as well. Just the same old way we always did it. But if you want to see, what the new thing is going to look like, it's soundbites.org/lounge/matrix.php. And Steve's got a link up on the site so you can see what it does. And there's a whole bunch of stuff you have to do to sign in once, no matter whether you use the web or a client. But once you're signed in, all you do is start your client or go to the website and hit join, and you're in. So you'll see the room and everything else. Normally you start out in the room that you used last, for many of you, that would just be the Soundbites Lounge. You won't have gone anywhere else. But there are lots of other things out there. There's Raspberry Pi stuff. There's radio stuff. There's all kinds of things out there. People chit-chatting around the world about their favorite hobbies and the things they like the best. So we're going to take a look at that. We'll probably be using that at least for a little while. Full disclosure, you're guinea pigs. we're going to try this. We're all guinea pigs, me too. We're going to try this and see how it works and how we like it. There are some features of Mastermind Lounge that won't be available, but frankly, we didn't use them anyway. A lot of back-end stuff for, who used what how and all kinds of rankings and all kinds of statistics and all this and that. We never used that anyway. We never cared about that. We're not going to miss that at all. It does have a section where you can see who's online. It's just got a section for typing in stuff. So again, if you want to join us, you never have to turn on your camera and microphone. You can just listen. You can type in the chat area if you want to, or you can just hang out and just, lurk. And be a fly on the wall.
Stalker.
Be a stalker. We're going to over in the next couple of weeks, out of necessity, because I think this is the last week we can use Mastermind Lounge, but I wanted to give everybody a heads up. So if they wanted to take a look at the instructions a few times before we actually have to use it.
Practice run.
We'll have that available to us. So today's the 22nd. Mm-hmm. If we sell by the end of the month, yeah, next Saturday. This is it, last Sunday.
Yeah.
And last Wednesday. So if you are an Ask Nick member, and if you're not, why not? But if you're an Ask Nick member, this is our last Wednesday with Mastermind Lounge. And if you're a Soundbites listener, which you probably are if you're listening right now, by definition, this will be our last Sunday at Mastermind Lounge. It was a shock to us all, but
life goes on.
Life goes on, and finding this was a bit of a blessing. It was really nice to just run into this and see how well it works. I have seen, and now it was a demo. I mean, I didn't run it. Somebody else running it. They had 40 people on screen, all with cameras.
Yeah, because that's one big complaint I've had with Mastermind is they can only see six people.
40 people.
Well, there were seven people in the meeting, and one of them had their camera turned off.
Right. But now you're going to have a fairly wide screen.
Yeah.
If you want to see them with any resolution.
12 inches isn't going to cut it.
Right. But the screen she was showing 40 people, and they had closed the list of rooms and the list of people and the, et cetera. So, there's no magic here, right? But you could see 40 people if you want to see 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have the ability to say, oh, here's a URL I really liked or whatever that's all about. So that's kind of nice, and we'll be trying that. Not tomorrow, next Sunday. And not Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, for those of you on Ask Nick. So,
you can't have any capital letters in your username.
You cannot have capital letters in your username. I don't know why. I don't care why.
Is there a data type that's lowercase letters only? They're running a 7-bit system?
Probably.
Yeah.
You can have any name you want in your screen name.
Mm-hmm.
You have capital letters in your screen name. Not in the name you sign in with. Fine. Well, part of that is they got to check that nobody else is using that name. And they're going to lowercase it anyway. So they want to avoid, suddenly you're doing camel case or you're doing, any of those leap cases where every other word is, every other letter is capitalized, that sort of fare. So... lowercase only for the name, for your username when you sign in. But once you are signed in, you can set any name you want. You can also set a picture for yourself, or it'll just show up with the first letter of your username. And that's the thing. So there's a lot to it. It's actually pretty cool. The little I've managed to play with it, and that's why I say, we're all guinea pigs together. I'll be learning the admin side. Well, you're all learning the user side. So feel free not to ask me a lot of questions the first week. I won't have a lot of answers. But it looks like it's a really good product, and that's the one that we'll be using. And again, it may not be our final solution, but it certainly is a final adjacent. Let's call it that.
I just downloaded the client and created an account, and I'm ready to go.
Excellent. There's clients for every major operating system.
What do you mean using a password incorrect? I just created it.
Okay, Steve has a problem. But there are clients, as I said, for Windows, Mac OS, Linux, Android, iOS, and the web. You don't have an excuse. And I do like the fact that there's an Android and iOS client, an mm-hmm. actual native client, as opposed to you're running Safari or whatever.
Yeah. Because they can do more better with a native client than limiting you to what the web allows.
Exactly. So, that's going to be nice. Again, you're probably not going to get 40 pictures on the screen, 40 videos on the screen simultaneously on iOS or Android. Get over yourself. It just is what it is. But we're going to try it. This will be an experiment. We're all guinea pigs together. And while you look at that, we're going to take a quick break. But we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll free 800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve, next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Mike from Irondequoit, New York on the line. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. I've got a question. It's completely unrelated to your current conversation. But it's about interruptions on the web. I'll get online, or I'll even be watching TV, and I'm hooked up to the internet, and suddenly a really short and quick interruption happens. It's like everything stops for a second and then starts back up again. And I've noticed it in the last couple of days, it's started to do that, and it even does it on my iPad. Is it a router issue? Is it the signal coming from the internet?
Who's your provider?
Spectrum,
Greenlight, Frontier?
Spectrum Internet. Spectrum.
Okay, have you talked to them?
No, I have not. I thought, I was listening to your show, and I said, geez, if anybody knows about it.
So it's likely one of two places.
And the fact that it happens on all your devices.
Right. So it's either going to be your router or the internet connection itself. If you've got Spectrum, it's likely both of those products are from Spectrum themselves. So In either case, you would talk to them.
It's kind of like in the middle of something, all of it. It's just laying on. And like that, you know what I mean?
Right. So you would, if you were troubleshooting it yourself, you would replace the router with a different router and see if the problem persists.
Or turn the routers off for like 20 minutes.
Can't hurt.
Or let it rest overnight even.
Right.
We do. I have actually a switch on it so that when, because I don't like it, any kind of 5G or anything coming into the house and I'm just sleeping.
Sure. So the best thing to do at this point is to get in touch with Spectrum directly and explain the problem to them and have them test their line.
All right, cool. I thought maybe it's a weather issue, but I think you're probably right.
Well, it could be a weather issue, but it's a weather issue at their end if it is.
Right. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. And in general, for all of the people listening, if you feel that there is a problem with your internet connection, call them. Because the way this works, if one or two people call, they assume the problem is you. If 15 or 20 or 30 people call, they assume the problem is them.
Yeah.
So if you've got a problem, don't wait.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
And we,
as always.
thank you so much.
And we often recommend buying your own wireless router so you don't have to rent theirs.
Right.
And you'll often get a better model than they rent. They're known for renting low-end stuff. But in this case, they're quick to blame you. Well, our modem's getting a good signal. It must be your router. Well, not necessarily.
Right, right, right.
In fact, I was at a customer the other day. Spectrum replaced the customer's modem with a modem router combo, left the original wireless router connected, and set up a new mesh router about 3 feet from their main router. No wonder things weren't working well.
Also, they're being charged for all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller was our first caller, a blast from the past. It's Dan. Dan from Canandaigua.
No, it's Dave.
It's Dave from Canandaigua.
Did I write Dave? Or Dave?
Yeah, you wrote Dan, and then you said again. And right. Okay, what's up, Dave?
Well, it was a Freudian slip. You said it was Damn Dave.
It said Damn Dave from Canandaigua.
Yeah. Okay, so it's all about the query when you go to any search engine. And, of course, Google's AI search engine is terrible.
I hate it.
So I have discovered there's actually a couple of add-ons for Thunderbird.
Oh, good.
Identity Chooser and Identity Selector both do exactly what I want. It always forces me to pick the right from.
Excellent.
As soon as you click on, yeah. Yep. And so that's, if someone else has got a rotting brain like I do, that might come in handy for them too.
Perfect.
And also from the last caller, I just got a notice a while ago and I just swapped out for a new modem with Spectrum. I'm down in Canandaigua here. I don't know if they're doing that everywhere or whatever. But that may or may not have anything to do with this problem. But
yeah, if you have an old Spectrum router, they have replaced them two or three times over the 30, 40 years now Spectrum's been in town.
Yeah.
The most recent change was they went to 500 meg down as their standard. And no, that was a change before. The most recent change in the last couple of months is they've gone to 500 megs up. And that's what Greenlight is offering, and it's good to have competition now.
Exactly.
But so you may need to just reboot your modem to get that if it's new enough, but you may need a new cable modem to get those new speeds. So that could be Mike's
problem.
If he's running a really old cable modem, might only be, what, DOCSIS 2? DOCSIS, and he's only getting 10 megabit out of his line that could be doing 500?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got. Thanks.
Good. Thank you, Dave. It's that damn Dave from Canandaigua, New York.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave. Sorry to everybody. I don't swear. And there it was. I don't get it.
Webster?
So, yeah. But, yeah, if you check your modem. Check to see if you need a new one. You're paying for it. They should replace it.
Yeah, the modem is included in the cable monthly fee. The Wi-Fi you pay extra per month, usually around $10 a month, but we see a variety of different prices from our different customers, and why isn't it consistent?
Right.
They can charge what they can.
Right. So the modem is the thing that brings the signal into your home.
With the big, thick coax wire.
Right. And changes it from whatever they're using at their end to Ethernet at our end. The term modem was originally modulator, demodulator. I don't want to go into
it. It's the word everybody knows, so that's what they call it.
Right, that's what they call it. But it's basically the box that brings the signal into your home. Then there's the router, which takes that signal and routes it to all of your computers.
Or is it root?
Or routes it to all of your... No, in Australia, it's root.
It's root, yeah. It's a router or a router.
That routes it to all of your computers. And that, and both wired and wireless. So you really, if you have something... So in any case, so for example, I have Greenlight. And I have an ONT, optical network terminal, which is essentially the modem. To that, I have connected my Google Home router, which routes my signal around to all my machines. And everybody else has something similar. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jerry from Webster, New York. What's up, Jerry?
Hi, guys. Just a quick question. Is there a website you can go to or a list that would show you or explain what those different symbols are on your keyboard, what their functions are?
Usually the manual that came with the keyboard or computer would explain what they are.
Unfortunately, that got tossed out inadvertently, but I don't have that manual anymore. So
you might be able to find it online.
Mm-hmm. More likely.
So what model laptop do you have?
I have a Lenovo laptop.
Okay. And, you should be able to go to Lenovo, the Lenovo website, lenovo.org/support. Type in either the serial number or the, what do they call it?
Service tag.
Service tag number for that laptop, and it will give you a list of all of the things that are available for that laptop, all the updated drivers, all of the manuals, everything. So you should be able to download a PDF of the manual, and in there will be somewhere, in the pages of that manual, will be a list of the symbols on the keyboard.
The problem is that a lot of manufacturers use different symbols for the same thing. Right. But for, and I'm looking to find a picture here. But basically, one that looks like a little sun is brightness down. One that looks like a big sun is brightness up. Oftentimes there's play, pause, next, and previous. A little volume speaker, a big volume speaker. So they have some different symbols that are similar across all keyboards, but not necessarily the same between manufacturers.
Right. So checking the Lenovo web. Did you say Lenovo? The Lenovo website for the manuals is probably your absolute best bet.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you. I just bought a Lenovo computer. I bought it in December. I still haven't put it together yet. I bought a Lenovo desktop, and the very first thing I did, even before it came, was to go and download every manual they had for everything they had. Because I'm, you know, retentive that way. So I have all their manuals, and I'm all set with that, and it's very nice. Again, I won't use the drivers because I'm going to take Windows off it and put Linux on it. But I will have, the thing itself, ready to go. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Rochester, New York. What's up, Brian?
Well, I have a real quick and simple question, I think. You were talking about motors, modems and routers and all of that.
Yep.
And I'm still stuck with Spectrum, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's time for a new router, I think. And I'm wondering if you have a recommendation for a router.
Okay. How big is your house?
Square feet.
About 3,000, 2,500 to 3,000.
Okay.
Yeah, often that's how routers are rated, by their square foot.
Right. So you can either buy a single router that's designed to reach the whole house.
And it's got 17 antennas sticking out of it.
Right. Or you can buy what's called a mesh router, where you have two or three stations, and you put them around the house. You find a spot where the signal starts to weaken, and you put one of the boosters there, and then farther on you put another one, et cetera, et cetera. I'm personally running the Google Nest, I think they call it now. Home router mesh network.
And I like the Eero.
And you like the Eero. The Eero, I had an Eero. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
There was a heck of a deal on the Google, so I bought that one.
We were worried when Amazon bought them, they'd ruin it, but they haven't.
They haven't.
Good. And you can get some really good deals on Amazon, too.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at the time, and in my case, at the time that I needed a new router, Google was cheaper. And that's really what it came down to. Both are excellent routers, the Eero that I had and the Google that I have.
And the Google.
Sorry, go ahead.
That was you. Not going back.
Oh, yeah. No. Another quick question. New modem, too. Recommendations?
Generally speaking, the modem you would get from Spectrum, Spectrum doesn't charge you extra for the modem, where Time Warner did. So you're usually better off using theirs because then they can manage it and they can't blame it on you when you have a problem.
Oh, okay. So I have
and that can also be as we mentioned a little earlier. That can also be a reason to get the Spectrum Wi-Fi, even though you have to rent it for $10 a month or so. They can't blame your problem on your Wi-Fi because it's their Wi-Fi.
Right. Good advice. So I have a really old modem and a Nighthawk, old Spectrum modem and a Nighthawk router. What I'm hearing is I should probably call Spectrum and get a new modem from them.
We certainly need to get a new modem from them. What you do about a router is your decision.
And the Nighthawks are a good brand, but they're one of the central ones where... you put that near your cable input.
Right.
Now, if everyone's cable input came to the center of their house, the Wi-Fi would be great. But usually it just comes to one side of the house, and so then to get to the other side of the house, you have trouble. And that's where the mesh routers are handy, because you can put inexpensive mesh routers around your house to increase the signal strength.
Now, my wife wants... a very strong signal on the porch for when she sits out there in the summer with her laptop.
Yep.
I've got a router out there for her. One of the mesh routers is near the porch so that the signal there is strong for her. So that's, if it depends on your circumstance. There are also programs you can download for both Android and iOS that kind of turn your phone into a little device that will tell you the signal strength of your Wi-Fi. So you walk around the house with this thing, and where it starts to drop out, that's where you put your other mesh router.
Yeah, so if you have to get, like the back bedroom, and the signal has to go between the kitchen and the bathroom, all that metal of the appliances and pipes can block the radio signal. And so having a mesh router, like halfway between where you need it to go and where your main router is can really help boost that signal.
Plus, like Nick and I, we both have walls that have mesh in it.
Chicken wire
from the old lath and plaster. Because my house is built in 1928. So, I put a couple of them around the house to get the signal, strong enough to go no matter where I am.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very much for your advice, guys. You've been very helpful, and I appreciate it, as always. You all have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Brian. You too. Yeah, there's a real science and a kind of an art to the proper placement of
you got it takes time and due diligence because, you got to... And it can also affect what time of day you're doing it, too, measuring this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the other thing. When you set up your router, what I like about these little programs that you can run on your phone is that they show you all the Wi-Fi in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So in my particular case, there were a couple of really powerful signals on the same band.
Yeah, channel 6.
Channel 6.
Everyone uses channel 6 to start with.
So I set mine to a different band, and I now have no interference on anything. And it doesn't, there's nothing I had to do when I set up a TV or, you know, my phone or whatever. I just tell it, this is my router and this is the password, and it figured out the correct channel to get to. But yeah, you know, because almost every device on the planet comes to on channel 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, and most people don't change them.
No, they don't even know how.
So I had, right, and so I had two people who, I don't understand how they don't interfere with each other all day long. Maybe I'm directly in the middle of the two of them, and they don't interfere with each other very much.
Well, it's Hedy Lamarr. Spread spectrum, yes. Frequency hopping.
Yep, it's Hedy.
Yep.
But yeah, so I set my router to a different channel, no interference. And every once in a while I check it. And at one point I discovered somebody else moved into the neighborhood. They were on that channel with me, so I moved to another channel. There's like 14 or 15 of them, so...
Yeah. So yeah. If you can get two channels away and leave an empty channel between you, that's
right.
The best.
Yeah. Exactly.
But there's so much Wi-Fi these days, it's
no matter
hard.
Where you it's go, everywhere. You can go around and...
Yep. And that's... Well, that's... So Wi-Fi comes in two frequency bands. Well, three now. 2.4 gigahertz is the common frequency that goes through walls pretty good. 5 gigahertz was the band...
5G...
Well, see, it's not 5G cellular,
right?
But it's 5 gigahertz, but most Wi-Fi calls it 5G.
Right.
But it's not, has no relation to 5G cellular, generation cellular network. 5 gigahertz rating is less busy, less crowded with devices, but doesn't go through walls as well. And then now some of the new on Wi-Fi 7, there's a 6 gigahertz band.
Right.
But the higher the frequency, the shorter the distance, it works well. So if you remember the old portable phones, the first cordless phones, they were 900 megahertz to you and to the base station.
You could drive down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still get your phone call. Yeah. So they had big switches on them, so you could change channels. So or you'd pick it up and hear your neighbor's conversation.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so... those of you who say, you know, oh, I've got to have 5 gigahertz, you may not want to have 5 gigahertz because it's a shorter throw signal.
So you need more mesh boxes.
You need more mesh boxes.
And every now and then you run into a device that cannot do 5 gigahertz.
Right.
My son had an old Nintendo DS, one of the early ones, and it would only do 2.4. So fortunately, in the Eero app, and probably the same in the Google and the other ones, you can temporarily turn off 5 gigahertz. Because the router tries to give the best signal it can, and then the device was ignoring it because it couldn't read that signal.
Right. So, and then we had that problem when my father-in-law passed. We inherited his television, which is a nice big TV, but it's very old.
Some digital picture frames, probably the same way.
Right. It did 2.4 gigahertz, and that's it. And we turned off 5G, connected up just fine, never had a problem after that.
Yep.
Turned 5G back on. No problem. So 5 gigahertz, you're right. There's that confusion between 5 gigahertz bandwidth on a router and 5G. 5G on a router is 5 gigahertz. It's the bandwidth. And 5G on a phone is fifth generation. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. Which is around, looks like it's around 1900 megahertz, so 2 gigahertz.
Right, because they are all on different frequencies.
Yeah. And the lower the frequency, the longer the signal goes.
Right. Right, and that's why you can be fairly far away from a tower, although they put 5G towers pretty close together.
Well, that's the really good 5G is millimeter wave. And that only goes 100 feet or so.
Right.
So you need, which is Wi-Fi. That's what Wi-Fi started as.
Right.
So you need to have more and more millimeter wave cellular antennas in your city. So the joke was that, millimeter wave, you can get 10 gigabit on your 100 gigabit on your cell phone, but no one's ever going to get that unless there happens to be one, you know.
Unless you're sitting on the roof.
Literally right next to you.
Well, back in the day, RIT had only one phone antenna on their campus, and it was Verizon, which is what I had.
Yep.
And it was humorous to watch all the Apple people who were on whatever it was, all crowding one side of the building during breaks to make phone calls. Whereas one time I was riding down the elevator with one of my students, my phone rang. He just looked at me and said a very rude thing.
Now, apparently there's some non-terrestrial frequency ranges for 5G cellular.
Right.
Space? What would be non-terrestrial?
Yes. Well, the Mir now.
Yeah, the International Space Station. Yeah, they have a ham radio too. You ever talk to them, Dave?
Yeah.
They have they do ham stuff. They do. Yeah.
You can do that.
You're not on the mic.
They do that quite often. As a matter of fact, they set it up with the schools all the time. They're constantly
doing school systems and everything else, and some of the bigger contests like. This right. Summer and fall.
All right. That music tells us we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to thank everybody who called in. Good questions this week. We're done this week, but if you're free, join us tomorrow night. Go to soundbites.org/lounge, and we'll talk more there about moving over to Matrix. If you're a member of Ask Nick, you can join us Wednesday night at asknick.com/members. But we'll be back here next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites, right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?